good morning. I think there are few words in the English language that evoke such strong emotions and recollections as a simple four-letter word, not that kind, but like the theme of the service, home. You say it to somebody who maybe had parents who neglected them or abused them, and you will have to brace your heart as you hear stories of hurts and horrors, of anger and absence. If you say the word home to somebody who's single but has always wanted a spouse and maybe a few kids scurrying underfoot, but it never worked out for them that way, then you better prepare for a conversation about evaporated hopes and unfulfilled dreams. If you're to say home to any of the 6.6 million Syrian refugees who have been displaced from their homes, then you better be ready for silent tears or maybe even sobs of despair, and understandably so, especially at this time of year. So please keep praying for peace in the midst of civil war. However, to someone who maybe had high-functioning parents and reasonably sane siblings, you better have some time on your hands if you mention the word home, because everyone has some heartwarming stories to tell about growing up in a home like that. And so the truth is, regardless of the health of the home that you grew up in, that I grew up in, all of us deep down know and sense what a home could be or what a home should be. Every person understands the potential that resides in the idea of home. God made sure of that. He imprints that on our hearts. And so home is supposed to be that place where you experience a deep sense of belonging, of safety, of protection from the world. Home is where you are loved irrationally, accepted unconditionally, forgiven totally when your wrongs are confessed to one another. Home is where everyone is for you, every day, in every circumstance of life. And so these powerful human yearnings for a real sense of home exist in all of us, no exceptions, because God has hardwired us that way. And so as we think about Christmas, many of you are familiar with the story in Luke chapter 2 that on the night that Jesus was born, angels announced that this is good news of great joy for all people, that there is news for everybody in the human race, whether you are single or married, widow or an orphan, whether you are a homeowner or homeless, this is good news. And what is this universal good news exactly? That this Christmas child who is laying in a feeding trough would grow up and make it possible for anyone and everyone on the planet to have a home in relationship with God as a perfect father. That through Jesus' miraculous birth, his sinless life, his atoning death on a cross, and eventually his victorious resurrection, that this door has been swung wide open so that even if you feel like you are the least deserving person, that God's love for you is unswerving, and that you can be reconciled to God and experience all those incredible feelings of home in relationship with him as a father. And I know that's hard for skeptics to buy, but it's true nonetheless. And we can feel a deep sense of belonging to God, irrational amounts of love from heaven into our hearts, unconditional acceptance and forgiveness coming from the one who took our place on a cross. And even a powerful sense of that God is with us and that God is for us as we navigate all of the challenges of our daily lives. And so in a very real way, you and I, all of us, can experience the richness and the blessing of a home in relationship with God as a perfect dad. Now, one day, while Jesus was trying to drive this idea of home for listeners, he told a story that many would consider one of the most emotional and memorable stories in the New Testament. And actually, Charlene referenced it already. I don't think she knew that we were going to talk about it. But in Luke chapter 15, there is a headstrong young man who kind of blows out the back door of his father's home with his bags fully packed with his dad's money. He's thoroughly convinced that what's waiting for him out there in the big city is so much better than hanging out around this lousy home for one more day. And so when he gets to the big city, he tries everything, he buys everything that his heart desires, but over time, he finds himself wallowing in the literal muck of pigs and in the existential muck of his life. And he experiences the sickening feeling in the pit of his stomach that no amount of partying or pleasure seeking is going to address the growing ache of loneliness and emptiness in the depths of his soul. Then, as Jesus tells this story, he makes a clever observation about human nature and about human need. And so here we are in Luke chapter 15, and in verse 17 it says, "But when he came to his senses," I'm reading from the New American Standard Version this morning, "he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger.'" I love that phrase, "he came to his senses." Like, he's thinking about himself, and one day he wakes up, and in the depths of his soul, he kind of comes to a conclusion that, I'm just going to wake up and come to my senses here. And you can picture, here's a man who is hungry and hungover, wakes up this morning, and then all of a sudden realizes, you know what I am doing in life, this is not working out for me. And that's a pretty huge admission for a headstrong young man. Would you agree? And so he reasons to himself, you know what, more of this life that I'm leaving, more of this lifestyle is not taking me where I really want to go. And so this thought comes crashing into his conscience, home was better than this, than sitting here in the wallowing in the muck of pigs. It wasn't perfect, but it sure beats this. And you can imagine the shift in his perspective as his emotions get stirred up. I was loved back at home. I was listened to at home. I was valued back at home. There was a sense of stability and belonging back at home. Maybe I could swallow my pride and go home. And so he does. And along the way, he rehearses an apology speech. So he's thinking to himself, okay, I really messed this up, so I'm going to repent of my sin before God and before my dad, and then he'll take me home. I haven't been a very good son, so maybe you could just hire me as an employee. And I wonder, for those of you who are familiar, how does this story end? Do you remember how the dad responds? In verse 20, next slide, in verse 20, it says that, "So he got up, the young man, came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him." It's not a coincidence that this dad saw his son from a long way off. It's not just that he happened to be outside, standing on a hill that day, but the picture there is this dad who is standing on there day after day, watching and waiting for his son. And so he sees him finally from a far distance, and he forgets all the stuffy social rules and traditions about being a dignified Middle Eastern father who would wait for his children to approach him. And instead, he decides, "I'm going to be the kind of dad that runs towards my fully grown adult son." And before his son can even start reciting this apology speech, this dad is weeping with joy. He covers his son with the kind of hugs and kisses that all of us need from time to time from a loving dad. And you can imagine, he's walking with his arm around his son to welcome him back home, where he throws a huge celebration in honor of his son who has returned. You see, when Jesus finishes the telling of the story of this child coming home, you can imagine Jesus also standing there and simply opening his arms wide to listeners and asking if any of them want to come home to God as a father. And so I wonder, what about you this morning? How do you need to come to your senses? How do you need to come home to Jesus today? Perhaps you could review the value proposition of your current situation or direction in life. Is that working for you right now? Is it addressing the inner needs of the human soul? Is your life taking you, the direction really taking you where you really want to go? You see, the Christmas story reveals how Jesus left his home and came to earth, and then he asks, is it time for you to come home to your heavenly Father? Can you come to your senses and swallow your pride this Christmas? Because what awaits you in relationship with him is by far better than what we have here and now. And so for some of you, as you heard Charlene share her story this morning, it reminds me of, just it boggles my mind hearing about these toxic situations when a church might be very rigid in its religious rules instead of exposing you to the restoring relationship with God. Or when leaders in a church are self-centered and control others instead of being self-controlled and other-centered. And maybe you experienced something like that and turned your back on God because you've been hurt deeply by a church or by other Christians. It turns out that everyone who attends a church is broken and messed up and need Jesus to change them, just like us. And so Jesus is inviting you to come home to him, to his perfect dad, where imperfect people like you and like me are welcome, where we can get help and hope for change, where we can experience the genuine and radical love and acceptance and value and care of a God who is a loving Father. Maybe for some of you, your life has been about chasing the prize, and it's always just out of reach for you. And so you're driven by a need to prove yourself by your performance or your success, by your earning of power or by achieving certain milestones in life. Yet you've sacrificed your friends and family. You've sacrificed your relationships and home, including perhaps with the most significant one of all, with God himself. Is it time for you to come home in that area of life? Maybe for some of you, your marriage or your family has been a wreck. And Christmas is the perfect time of year, if there's brokenness in your home, to ask God to come and help you fix that. I don't know what it is, but around church, a lot of families and a lot of extended relationships seem to get reconciled right around Christmas time. I mean, perhaps it's because of the biblical account of God's grace and peace coming down to earth, so people decide and are influenced by God to stop fighting around Christmas and start saying, can we try to work on this? Can we move on? Can we try again? If you're in need of reconciliation in your home, then I plead with you, would you be the first one to take that first step, to be that one that God is maybe leading to extend a hand before the other one does, to say, I'm sorry, let's try again. And even if that other person doesn't respond, be the first one to forgive, just as Jesus has forgiven, even if they don't never apologize to you, to bless somebody with what they need, a heaping dose of grace, instead of what you think they deserve. Let the grace of Christ do its work. Maybe come home to him and let him do that through you. And see what God does. I think he might surprise you. Or perhaps you've been shell-shocked this year, experienced maybe bad news recently in your life. Some of you, maybe you have been standing around a hospital bed with a loved one, or maybe you've been in a hospital bed, wondering what is your future, what's your hope going to be like. Some of you, you've made such a mess of your life, you wonder if God, as a heavenly Father, could ever possibly still love you. Perhaps this is the area that you need to come home. Finally, some of you have been fending off Jesus all of your life. You are a strong-willed, hard-headed person, just like the young man in this story. But lately, by the work of God's Spirit, you've been kind of softening your heart and you're starting to come to your senses. And perhaps you're experiencing a deep conviction that it's time for me to come home. And some of you, you've been in a relationship with God for years and you felt that sense of belonging and acceptance, then you walked away from it. And perhaps you're wondering this morning, could I come back home? Maybe some of you grew up in a home with a completely different faith tradition, and yet you feel the unique sense of the work of God. That maybe Christianity is true. Maybe Jesus is exactly who he says he is. Maybe he did exactly what he came to do, claimed to do. Maybe he did pay for the sins of the world, reconcile all of us to God, so we can truly come home to God as our Father. So perhaps it really is time for you to come home. By placing your trust in Jesus in any of these areas of life, in every area of life, that when Jesus died in our place, for our sin, and rose to be our Savior, that you and I are fully welcomed, fully accepted into God's family and home, no questions asked, just as you are. And that as you come before Him, He'll say, "Welcome home," to any and all. So let's do this. We're going to keep it a little bit shorter today. The message is painfully simple, but mercifully brief. I'm just going to pray, but I'm going to allow you to have a conversation with God. And perhaps some of you have come and you already have a relationship with Jesus, and He's graced your life with a family and a home and joy. And this is the perfect time to give thanks for that sense of belonging, for irrational love streaming your way from heaven, for experiencing His ongoing forgiveness. And perhaps maybe you can ask God for additional wisdom and courage to create the richest sense of home you possibly can with the days that remain in your one and only life. But maybe all of us can invite, ask God, can we come home this morning, and allow Him to help fill us up and use us to overflow and fill our homes with the ridiculous levels of belonging, irrational amounts of love, total acceptance and forgiveness that reflect what Jesus has done in our lives, and this and the absolute possible sense that everyone that comes to our home would be for everybody else, and cheering each other on through the challenges of life. And in so doing, you'll be giving a gift to every person in your home with a treasure that money cannot buy, that will yield dividends for generations to come. So I'm going to pray for you, and there's one other matter I want to address before we sing, and I'll send you on your way. Perhaps as you are listening to this very brief story, that you relate to this young man, and that there's some area of life that you've seen Jesus starting to reignite. Perhaps Jesus has lit a flame in you this morning to place your trust in just one area of your life, maybe one of the things that I listed, to come to Him, to come to His Father and say, "I want to come home in this area. I've been running away from home with this area, my marriage, my work, my performance, my self-esteem," whatever the case may be. Or that maybe God has finally worked in your life and I need to bring every area of my life to come before Jesus. If so, I don't want you to let this moment pass. We want to give ourselves a memorable and meaningful response to remind you in the days ahead. And so, if the light of Christ has reignited something in your heart, invited you home in any area of life or in every area of life, we're going to invite you when the music starts. As you pray, maybe you might want to come forward this morning. And the greeters gave you a little tea light candle. And what you can do is, you can come forward, just walk up the stage. Don't worry about like, "Well, there's musicians up here." Just come up and maybe light your candle off that white candle that's there, the Christ candle from our Advent reading this morning. And then you can place it in the window of this house. It's just all symbols to remind us that Jesus maybe has lit a light in you, lit a fire in you, and He's invited you to come home. And so this house that you stand here is just a symbol of God's family, of God's home. And as you light your candle, you can leave it on the table as a simple gesture of faith that I'm coming home. I'm coming home to God again. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer?